Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Greyhound Halftime Show. My name is Jesse Smith, alongside John Perkins, as always. We're going to bring back Alex Thomas and Vince Reimer here. They were the guys here for game day. As a Carmel marching band on the field, putting together a spectacular performance. We're about 14 minutes away from the start of the second half of this game. Warren Central leading 6-0. And John, what have you seen from both sides so far in the game?
Well, first off, from Carmel, I've noticed they've come out really lackadaisical. I've said it before, they've come out slow. It doesn't seem like they're attacking like they did last game. They came out guns blazing last game, and the ground game was really working for John Lampe, and he really didn't have to pass the ball. But it seems like we're going back to kind of the tendencies of the first three or four games, where Isaac James would come out for first and second down, and then Lampe would come in for third down or relief. He'd only get one shot throwing it out. But here's the problem with that. It becomes extremely predictable, and a defense is able to read that. Think about that. Okay, Isaac James, first and second down, the John Lampe on third down. He's going to pass the ball. And so it's caused a lot of trouble, not only for Isaac James throwing two picks, but also for John Lampe. He's having a tough time completing passes. It doesn't help when your offensive players as well are dropping balls. Got to go to guys like Chris Perkins.
There's been a lot of problems in the quarterback position thus far this game. You see James just not being able to complete passes.
Nothing really going right here for the Greyhounds on offense early. Their running just isn't going anywhere. As they go straight up the middle, they just keep getting shut off really early. And whether it's James or Lampe at the quarterback position, they need to do a little bit better of a job out there.
Surprised Carmel's losing the turnover game here. You know, two interceptions to one. And, you know, we should definitely be leading this Jeff George an inaccurate passer. We should definitely take advantage of that so that we can take over the ball and get more possessions so that we can also do that. And I agree with what you said, John, about how they're sticking to those tendencies, and it's so easy to read. And, you know, even as a fan, you can sit here and know what's about to happen just from watching this game. So it's just, you know, they're going back to what happened against Trinity and Center Grove, the two losses. So I think you need to stick with what you did last week and get back to it.
And defensively, we switch sides of the ball. Now, I think this is important because the defense is doing really what they've had to do in the earlier season, which is bad. They're playing from behind, and they're having to do a lot of damage control. So when Jeff George is getting the ball on the 30-yard line, you know, the defense is having to play with their back to the end zone. It's hard for you to have confidence, first up, but it's hard for you to make stops. A lot of times you have to play conservative ball to not give up the big play. You can't take chances. You can't really blitz the guys you wish you could. You know, when Jeff George is playing with his back to the end zone, they're able to send guys like Sam Story and Ryan Saunders up from that linebacker position. They're able to shoot the gaps, give guys like Sean Stetson some help and some aid on that defensive line. But really, they're not able to do anything. And you've got to be able to rely on your coverage team as well. You've got a team like with guys like Alex Akins, Mitch Davis, Zach Woods, guys who have come up big, you know, even in that tackling game. And I think all together, you've just got to bring this together. You've got to take some shots downfield. You just got to give John Lampe the ball. We saw what happened last game when they gave him the ball. He was able to make things happen, score a lot of points. And again, that prediction, 35-14, does not seem to be coming true.
And, you know, this defense has played spectacularly well, only giving up 6 points there in the first half. Considering both of those scoring possessions, the one started within their own red zone. The other one started, as you mentioned, at the 30-yard line. So when you take that into consideration, you also have to look at the youth in this defense. The two biggest names that we've had so far tonight, Alex Akins on the interception and Noah Burks with a sack, and has been dialing up pressure time after time. Both of these guys, sophomores. So when you take in consideration, the seniors are doing their job, but when you have the younger guys stepping up too, really makes for a hard time for the opposing offense.
And let's switch sides of the ball now. I want to talk about Warren Central, because we came into the game kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt, I guess you could say. We thought that Jeff George was maybe going to be able to air it out and take some shots downfield, but instead he's really reversed his whole plan of attack. Kudos to him. He's done a good job with the rushing game. You got to credit guys like Tyrone Young. He comes in here with 372 yards and has done a marvelous job on the ground. Adrian Smith as well. We compared him to Darren Sproles, that kind of a back who can do not only an incredible job rushing the ball, but receiving. They get him out. They're able to get him the ball, and he's able to make things happen. It's just been a good game so far for Warren Central.
Yeah, Warren has definitely surprised me in this one. You know, the offense is really flowing. You know, it seems like I want to sit in the stands and say they're about to pass this ball, and then they run it. You know, they're hitting you with the surprises, which I'm no football coach, but, you know, it's just completely switch of game plan from last week, which I think is really catching the Greyhounds off track. So now they have a chance to go in at halftime and figure out where they're going wrong. The other big problem, I think, with the Greyhounds is drop passes. I think Chris Perkins has had two or three. Austin Roberts had one. You know, those passes are what we're missing on second and long, that we can make it third and short instead of being sitting there with third and eight, third and ten.
And you can really see that they're believing a little bit too much in Isaac James out there. He's been frustrated all night, of course. Aside from the two interceptions, when he just can't find anything, he's going towards the middle, and it's just not working at all. That Warren Central defensive line has been extremely strong early on, and they've been hitting with as much intensity as they can. And if Carmel doesn't do something to change that as fast as possible, they're going to be in trouble in the second half as the game winds down.
And I think that if we're talking about keys to victory here for the Greyhounds, first off, offensively, they got to take a shot downfield. You got to get the ball to Austin Roberts, a UCLA commit. I know we talk about him every game, but it just seems like he's still untapped. And I think last game was a great example of the Greyhounds coming out and tapping into their resources. But tonight, they're almost playing with that crutch, with that Achilles heel, I guess, and they're just not airing things out. They're not competitive. They're playing conservative. And we're seeing it in the frustration of John Lampe, who's just trying to get the ball to his receivers, but they can't even reel it in for even 5 yards.
And, you know, I think you bring up a good point there. I talked to Coach Wright over the last couple weeks, and he keeps stressing the importance of getting the ball in Austin Roberts' hands. Regardless of what situation it is, pass deep, pass over the middle, screen pass. Even we've seen him out of the backfield several times even tonight. But like you said, they need to get the ball to their playmaker. And on the couple occasions we've seen tonight, we saw him do that. He was at the 45-yard line, needed to get to the opposing 48-yard line for a first down, breaks a tackle in the open field. That is very hard to do, especially as a receiver trying to come up with the reception at the same time, able to pick up the first down. It's plays like that that keeps their defense on the field, keeps them fatigued, and makes John Lampe more confident.
He has a whole way of that. If he sees a hole, he's going to kick it into high gear, and he's gone. You know, his athleticism is untapped, being able to just, whether it's jumping, running, you know, he's tall. You know, so you just need to be able to chuck one up to him and have the faith in your receivers. They're going to come down with it, especially Austin Roberts, somebody so great. You know, you don't get to commit to UCLA for no reason, and I'm just really not seeing it tonight.
Again, and then if we go to that Warren Central defensive side of the ball, here's someone who's really stepped up. Cottrell Moss, what a guy. Comes in this game, 25 total tackles. Now, that's assists, solo tackles, everything thrown in. But he's really been the guy that everybody's got their eye on. Comes up with his first interception. You know, I guess the penalties are also a big factor here as well.
And Moss was one of the players that Alex actually mentioned earlier on in the pregame show to look for, and he immediately made an impact in the game as soon as it started with that big interception. And even though Carmel hasn't done very well on offense so far, you have to credit Warren's defense, because on every aspect, whether it's running or passing, they've done a good job of just ending Carmel's offensive play as quickly as possible. I mean, of course, Carmel hasn't been able to complete many of those passes that they've been going short to, especially Chris Perkins with a few drops already. You can hear it from up here in the press box, just the frustration. They really need to get something going as far as the short game, because if they're going to continue to do that, which most likely they will, they're going to need guys to catch balls, and that's the biggest part right now in the short game.
And now, folks, we're going to go down the line here. Keys to the second half, John.
Well, I think first off, you got to start out with Warren Central. You got to stop that run right from the get-go. I think you got to start bringing guys like Sam Story. You got to start bringing your guys like Ryan Saunders up the middle. Stop it early. Stop it quick. Make Jeff George throw that play-action pass. He can't, well, and I give him credit because he's done a much better job in the short-range game than what we've seen so far. But you can just tell he's dying to air it out. You got to give your guys like Alex Akins and some of that coverage team the opportunity to come up with some big interceptions. My key to victory is going to be that defense. They've got to come up with a big stop. They've got to make something happen for Carmel Grands. They got to shut down that offense of Jeff George.
For me, the Greyhound offense needs to get going. They need to take some threats downfield so that Warren feels like they need to protect it downfield. Right now, Warren just knows that Carmel's going to throw it short, so they have to cover it. Not very hard to read. They throw a couple deep, then all of a sudden you scare Warren with that thing. So they need to definitely throw a couple deep, but also be able to maintain the short game. On the defensive side of the ball, they need to be able to get a stop, you know? They need to come out guns blazing at the line, run a linebacker blitz, get a couple sacks, you know? Put Jeff George on his feet.
my key to the game is definitely the senior leadership. It hasn't existed tonight, and on a night where it is senior night, you're going to want your guys to step up. We said earlier once or twice that the seniors haven't done their job, and we see Burks and Akins making big plays out there as sophomores, but Sondles has done a pretty good job overall, but we need to see Lindgren, Story, Rowe, and the rest of that defense step up. They've done a good job overall tonight, and especially those seniors on offense. Austin Roberts has done a fine job when the ball has gone to him, but Lampy, Baldwin, Baldridge, and all those other players on offense need to get their hands on the ball and do something in the second half.
And definitely, I think, you know, one of the keys of the season going, and me and John have talked about this quite a bit, establishing that run up the middle. They've tried to on numerous occasions so far tonight. I definitely think, like we said, you got to go deep. You got to take some shots downfield. Even if it goes incomplete the first couple times, as Alex mentioned, you scare them a little bit. You make them think twice about bringing everybody up.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, for Alex Thomas, Vince Reimer, and Jesse Smith, I'm John Perkins reminding you, come back here for second half action on 91.3. Score 6-0 in favor of Warren Central. Let's send it back to the station for a quick tune, and we'll bring it back for some more second half action. You're listening to the only voice of the Greyhounds, 91.3 WHJE. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to 91.3 WHJE, the home of the Greyhounds. Varsity football action here. We're entering 1 minute till second half action. Warren's up 6-0 in favor of the Greyhounds. They've tacked on their points via the field goal game and have done a nice job at that. Credit the defense, though. Come up with some big stops. It could be 14 points on the board, Jesse.
And both of those drives on those scores, first one started within the red zone, second one at the 30-yard line. Defense has stepped up when they've needed to. Both in third and goal situations, they make the stops to make it fourth and goal, and obviously the field goal unit coming out then. But the story, I think, has to be the Cromwell offense right now. They have to get something going and put some points on the board.
We just haven't seen him come out like we've talked about with that tenacity. It just seems like their mojo, at lack of better words, has just been kind of slow today. And we've seen some drops. We've seen some miscommunication. But altogether, John Lampy has done a good job of still keeping his head up. And I don't want to come across too negative. I don't want to come across too cynical of this team, because they're very capable of great and marvelous things. You know, first off, I was the one who thought they'd be up, you know, 35-14 by the end of the ballgame. From what I saw from Warren, was not that impressive, and we come off a very impressive win from the Greyhounds. But Warren's come out. They've played good ball. Jeff George has really changed the tempo. He hasn't thrown it. He hasn't been selfish. And he's letting the rushing game do the work.
And this has been a very even game all the way through. The turnovers, 2-1. Warren Central has the advantage on that one. But the score, only a one-possession game we're talking about here. They're one score away. This is a team that scored 42 points against North Central last week. And also the yards game, 87 total yards for Warren Central versus Carmel's 80. So right down the middle, it's just been about the execution. But also, I think the main thing in this game has been the field position. When you give the Warren Central Warriors the kind of field position they've had, they only started one drive in their own territory last half, and the Carmel Greyhounds starting each of them at the 20-yard line, or in one case, the 25-yard line.
And you got to credit as well that defense. I know we kind of just mentioned it before, but Jeff George came out and started one drive at around the 38-yard line and was almost able to score at that point. But the defense had another incredible stop. They had another good showing to come out and have that stonewall mentality and only allowed 3 points on the board. So, Jesse, we could be looking at even a deeper hole. In reality, the Greyhounds are only one score away. They're only one touchdown away, 7 points from taking the lead. It's things like this that I think they can do a better job of capitalizing on and really keeping that mindset that they're not out. They're not out of this ballgame.
By no means. I mean, like we've been talking about the whole time, it's only 6 points. I mean, with all the weapons you have on this Carmel offense, you're really one play away from taking the lead. You got guys like Roberts, you have Perkins, Pascal, you have James, all these different players. You throw in Baldwin's name in there. You have all these different guys who can score at any time of the game. So it's just a matter of getting those guys open, getting those guys downfield, and letting them do what they do best.
Another score update here. We gave you the update first. Ben Davis had taken a 13-0 lead on Center Grove. But Center Grove, on a fake punt, they're able to score 2 plays later, 5-yard run. So Center Grove now 13, Ben Davis 13. They're under 2 minutes in the first half there.
And we talked about that when Ben Davis was up 13-0 early on in the first quarter. We talked about double-digit leads are not safe anymore in the mid-conference, especially considering what happened last week with Warren Central and Pike. But 13-0 lead quickly becomes 13-13 just like that. There's a tie ball game. So we're just about 27 seconds away from starting the second half. You're listening to Greyhound Football on 91.3 WHJE.
Another quick score update. They're rolling in. Fishers now has 10 points on Zionsville, nothing. Apparently it's been a pretty big defensive game, much like this one so far. So it just speaks to how fortunate the Greyhounds are only having to be down 6 points to Warren.
And right before we start off the second half here, I just want to make one more quick point. I do believe this will be a battle of the trenches. Those offensive linemen have been giving John Lampe great protection all night. One sack on the side of Warren Central. Noah Burke's coming up with that one. I only remember one time where Lampe got hit, and he was able to escape that himself and get back to the line of scrimmage to avoid the sack. So both of the offensive lines doing a great job. It's going to be a battle of the trenches all the way through. About ready to set the kickoff. Adam Kramer will be kicking this one away to the Warren Central Warriors to start off the second half. We have hit nightfall here at Carmel Stadium. 24 minutes of game time left, and only 6 points separate these two Mick rivals and one of the best rivalries in the state. Kramer set the kick from his own 40 back deep to Warren Central. Carmel faithful on their feet to start the second half here on the home side. This one is up and away. A beautiful kick from Kramer as that one goes out of the back of the end zone, showing off the power a little bit there, and that one will start the Warriors at the 20.
Adam Kramer, another one of those guys who kind of had a slow start coming out, missed a few field goals here and there, had some tough time on the PAT game, but has really blossomed into the player we're used to seeing. Again, following an incredible talented player, Billy Stumbo from last year, record-setting kicker. But Adam has really come into his shoes this year. He's done a fantastic job providing relief and doing a good job also on those kickoffs.
It's not just the kickoffs, not just the place kicking. It's all three aspects. You throw in the punting. He's done a great job all season in all three of those aspects as George and the Warriors come back out onto the field in the wing T formation, one wide out to his left. Takes a snap, hands that ball off to the tailback. That's Thomas across the 27-yard line to the 28th. That'll be a gain of 8 on first down. So good run there off that right tackle for Thomas. Just underway here in the second half, 11:44 remaining in the third quarter, 6-0 Warren Central.
And like Vince said during halftime, those seniors have to step up. That's a big senior right there. Wade Murdoch doesn't get a lot of time. He's racked his total up to 9 tackles so far this season.
So they're going to come back out. Looks like again with that X-wing formation. This time from the right hash, George under center at his own 28, takes the snap, rolls out to his left, has some time to throw. Now the pressure's starting to come. Vic Rowe meets him, and he's going to bring him down for a sack, loss of 2. Good job there on the concentration, not being fooled by the eyes downfield.
A problem George has faced is that offensive line seems to collapse pretty quickly. Jeff George, not a guy known for his wheels either, so that offensive line's got to do a better job this half of giving George a few more seconds to be able to throw that ball downfield.
After the loss of a couple yards, 3rd and 3 right now. Carmel has been dominant on the third downs when they have been on the defensive side of the ball. 10:47 remaining in the third quarter. And it is still 6-0 Warren. X-wing formation. As he moves the guy back out. Now they go with the pistol. One wide set. We have ourselves a whistle. And it will be a timeout for Warren Central, making sure they have all the personnel on the same page here on what could be a pivotal third down play.
Another score update at the half. Ben Davis, 16 to Center Grove's 13. Again, a field goal there for the Giants. And that's the third-ranked Ben Davis now, topping number one Center Grove as they go into half. Obviously, some adjustments are going to be made. We've heard it's kind of a defensive struggle thus far. But a very big game there in that mid-conference as well.
Center Grove 6-0 on this season, have obviously not dropped a game yet, but Ben Davis at 4-2, ranked just above the Carmel Greyhounds at 3. Carmel is at 4 in the media poll right now, proving to be a very tough opponent. 10:33 remaining here in the third quarter. 6-0 is the score in favor of Warren Central. George comes back out, shotgun formation, 3 wide, 2 out to his left. He's got 2 backs in the backfield, 1 on each side. from his own 27, takes the snap, rolling out to his left, looking down the field, and he will have the completion, and he will be brought down across the 35-yard line for the first down. That is Gegner with another reception, a big one at that.
And that's a big key to victory we've talked about. Jeff George has to do a better job in that short-range game. He's got to be able to hit his receivers 10 yards out. Nice example there of a guy who's able to move the chains forward and really get his arm going.
First down and 10 from their own 36 will be the official spot. They're off the left hash this time. Working that left sideline, they're going to put Gillespie in motion as he goes over towards the right side of the field with some more room. He'll be guarded by Akins, his counterpart. But a shotgun formation nonetheless for George. They have two backs in the backfield. Takes the snap, hands that one off to Thomas off that left tackle. He's going to be brought down after about a gain of 3. Second down and 7 coming up, and a mass substitution coming up. Nick Sinar, along with Vic Rowe and Andrew Tin, will be coming in for Kendall Hune.
And two names there that stick out to me. First off, Andrew Tin has done a good job covering for Vic Rowe at the nose guard position. We saw him get the start 2 games ago. Did a nice job there providing relief. They kind of sub Rowe and Tin out. Tin, another senior who stepped up big. And Sinar, again, another guy who plays that rover position. A very talented senior as well. Look for him to step up tonight.
Same formation, this time Gillespie out to his left. From zone 38, 2nd and 8. Burks coming with the pressure. They get it off to Adrian Smith. He's going to take a big hit from Akins, and Akins loses his helmet but still is able to come up with the tackle at the 44-yard line, short of the first down, so about a 3rd and 2. Big third down coming up for the Greyhound defense. 9:07 remaining in the third quarter. 6-0 is your score. The 44-yard line of Warren Central. They break huddle, and Jeffrey George will go under center. Split the difference on the receivers. 3rd and 2. They put a man in motion. Handoff up the middle to Adrian Smith. It's going to be close, depending on the spot. Going to have to wait on this one as we have defensive substitutions coming in. That one across the 45 to the 46-yard line. May have a measurement coming up.
Tackled by Wade Murdoch.
And they will bring out the chains here for an official measurement. So official timeout coming up, and this is a big, big spot.
Another tackle there by Wade Murdoch, the senior. We've mentioned his name before. Actually, in this half, was able to rack up his total to 9. So he's up to 10 tackles on this season. Again, to echo Vince Reimer at halftime, that's another example of these seniors starting to step up even defensively.
Here come the chains out at about the 46, awfully close to that first down marker. Couldn't eyeball that one as they pull that one out. And that one literally could not be any closer. They will give Warren Central the first down. Football being the game of inches that it is.
And the fans obviously really happy with that call. I'm just kidding. From our sideline, they're not. I'm sure on the opposite side of the field, they're not too mad. But either way, Jeff George and his team will now move the chains. They'll start with a nice first down nearing that 50-yard line mark, approaching Carmel Greyhound territory with 8:37 here in this third quarter. It's been a very fast-paced game so far. A lot of running keeps the clock going.
8:28 remaining in the third, 6-0 Warren lead as they come back out into pistol formation. 4 wide set trips out to his left. Takes the snap, hands it off Smith, left tackle. He's going to be wrestled down by Kendall Hune at about the 49-yard line, gain of about 3 yards, 2nd and 7 coming up. And we've seen these tailbacks for Warren Central very consistent, not really bursting out for that big play, but living their lives 3-4 yards at a time.
And that's something that was kind of synonymous with the Greyhounds until really the last 2 games, when the rushing game started really to break out. We talked about guys like Shakir Pascal, but folks, if we weren't able to catch the game, it was really almost unusually surprising for us in the booth, seeing Shakir Pascal run for 8 or 9 yards every single carry.
Moving it around this time, they switch the receiver set. 3 out to his right, 1 to his left, still from the pistol. George letting the play clock run down here. 2nd and 7, handed up the middle to Smith once again, and Ryan Sondles will come up with the tackle this time for no gain. 3rd and long coming up for the Warriors.
Sondles has been very active this season so far. Again, leads the team in tackles. He's got 20. That racks up his total to about 23 so far this game. A guy you want to be looking for at that next level. He's definitely a guy who could play collegiate ball. I'd actually like to see him out there on Saturdays.
7:10 remaining in the third quarter. 3rd and 7 from their own 48-yard line. They spread it out this time, split the difference, 4 wide set with Adrian Smith in the backfield. George directing traffic at the line. Noah Burke showing blitz, now backs off into coverage. We'll see what he decides to do here. He's in coverage. The screen pass over towards that left side. Gillespie with the reception, and a pack of hounds are going to bring him down. Ryan Sondels leading the charge for that tackle. That will bring up fourth and long. George looking over, trying to plead his case here, talking with his offense. This brings up a fourth and seven. And, John, if you're in this situation, are you considering going for it?
I don't think so. Again, you don't have much of a lead. Again, as they're going to bring the punt formation on the field, obviously agree with me. They're quick, so I'll make this fast. 6:22, you only got a 6-0 lead. Punting is the smart decision here. Make John Lampe earn his points.
And now from the 49-yard line, he will take the snap and be punting from about his own 35. Fields it cleanly. That one is up and away towards Baldridge, bouncing at about the 20. That one bounced out, hits off of Baldridge. He is able to come up with it and recover the fumble. But he's going to be brought down at about the 9-yard line, so bad field position for the Hounds to start this one with. But everyone holding their breath there for that split second after Baldridge made contact.
Well, and the ball was bouncing very quickly towards that Carmel end zone. Tips off the hand of Jason Baldridge, and obviously your mind goes to the worst possible solution here. And the thought was that, wow, I mean, just imagine if Warren not only recovered but was able to return that for a touchdown. Now you're looking at a 13-0 lead there. Very scary play there. Good job by Jason Baldridge to recover that.
Great concentration there. He lines up on the left side of Lampe. As they go four wide set, they put Roberts in the slot again. Pistol formation from their own 9-yard line. Pascal in the backfield. Lampe will take the snap. He loses the ball. That one's on the ground, and that one will be returned by Max Hernandez. The place kicker and defensive lineman is going to have himself a touchdown, and it is 12-0 Warren Central.
So deja vu for me up here in the booth, are just talking about what if, and the what if happened there. So ball goes down on the ground. Warren Central able to recover for a touchdown there. And so, hey, that's your defense working for you. You know, you can't be mad at that. Obviously, this student section not happy with that. It's a bummer. But now Lampe's going to have to come back onto the field. He's got to recover. He's got to keep his head up and score some more points.
And at the very least, it will be a 12-0 game as Hernandez will come out onto the field to attempt the point after here. No kicking game yet on the field for Warren Central. They're going to be trotting out here in a moment, but still, possibly going for two here and make it 14-0, really make that offense of Carmel work.
I think that's a chance that I would honestly think over my head for a long period of time now. Because here's the deal. Not only do you still have 12 points on the board, but now you could really put the Greyhounds in a hole. And very quickly, with the drop of a dime, you're talking about going for two here.
And now a timeout from Warren Central as the teams gather up here. Jeffrey George was in that team huddle. Darius Lee also in there. Going to be quite interesting. They try to go for the two-point conversion here as we have a stoppage in play.
And what about Jeffrey George? We haven't spent too much time talking about a little bit of his history. Went to Creekside Middle School, played quarterback there. I got to face him as a defensive back. He was a very talented quarterback back in the day, but really didn't have kind of the talent that he's got, at least at this point. Switched then, was thinking about going to Carmel to play high school ball. Instead went to Brebeuf. Then switched finally and has landed himself at Warren Central, following in his dad's footsteps, and kind of sat under, again, that talented quarterback of Anthony Cooper Taylor last year. But Jeffrey George getting the start now. Again, we can just go on and on about how well he's done of commanding the offense, staying very unselfish, letting the running game do a lot of the work. And now it looks like they're going to come on the field and try for two here, Jesse.
It appears that they are, but that is not Jeffrey George under center. Would appear that is Adrian Smith. As that one goes over the head of Coe, he's in a lot of trouble now, racing back. The Carmel Greyhounds defense are going to bring him down at the 25-yard line. So a wildcat formation almost kind of backfires on Warren Central, and just like that, it stays 12-0.
And we've seen Smith do that before where it's worked out nicely. They've been able to get like 8 or 9 yards on the ground, even move the chains forward. But right there, heads up play by that defense to recover after that fumble. Ball went over Smith's head, and was really not able to recover after that. And so they hold Warren Central to 12 points now. 12-0. Jesse, I'm going to put you on the spot as a play-by-play guy here. Make sure you did your research and you're not just reading off the roster. What are you thinking now, offensive scheme? Who are you bringing onto the field as your quarterback, and what are you doing?
I think I'm definitely going with Isaac James in this situation. Establish the run a little bit. Once you start getting into Warren Central territory, you bring John Lampe back in and establish that play action. And when they have shown so far this year, it has worked against Lawrence Central. They brought in Isaac James to move it across the 50, and then they brought out John Lampe to take it the rest of the way. It is effective.
Now, bear in mind, they haven't, you know, this being the Greyhounds, haven't really taken a shot downfield. I think you've still got that little window, although that window of opportunity is shrinking because it's going to be more and more probable the defense is going to be looking for it. But I still think you might be able to air one out and see if you can get it to Austin Roberts. Other than that, throw Isaac James in there. Let him do the job in the rushing game.
We've seen so far this year extra points are vital in these games, and the Cromwell Greyhounds, if they can pick one up in two scores, will have the lead, as that one will be a touchback back to Austin Roberts. That is 4-for-4 on the night for Max Hernandez.
Roberts has been a dangerous guy on that kicking return team as well. We saw him return a 95-yard touchdown, kickoff return. So a deadly threat. But that's going to result in a touchback. So now we're waiting on the quarterback, obviously, who's going to command this team. Looks like it's going to be Isaac James, number 13, coming out. So he's got his hands full. Not great field position, 20-yard line. But he needs to start putting some points on the board with only 5:56 remaining in that third quarter.
They go four wide, split the difference, pistol formation, Pascal in the backfield from his own 20. They put Roberts in motion into the backfield as James will hand that one off to Pascal, right tackle, and he's going to be brought down after about a gain of 3. So very similar rushing game so far tonight, both living 3-4 yards at a time. So 2nd and 7 coming up from about the 23. Off that right hash, James is going with a hurry up offense here as they go four wide, except trips out to his left. Pascal still remains in the backfield. They go hard count. Now James looks over towards the sideline for additional signaling. Calling it at the line of scrimmage, looks to take the snap now. 5:23 remaining in the third quarter, trailing by 12. James takes the snap, looks over, finds his man Baldwin across the 30-yard line. At about the 35, he will go out of bounds, and that will be enough for the first down, and Isaac James showing off the arm strength.
Credit Isaac James, too. He's thrown 2 picks this game. It's hard for a quarterback to be able to come back, settle down in the pocket with confidence, and make a good, solid throw there. Nice velocity. I'm impressed by that throw.
So they will line up at the 34-yard line, still in that right hash, same formation for Isaac James. From the gun, looks to go hard count. He takes this one, runs it up the middle, left tackle at the 40-yard line, breaks a tackle, able to gain 3 extra yards, and that will be a 2nd and 1 after the gain of 9. Good rush there from Isaac James.
And now we're starting to see this Carmel offense pick up the pace a little bit. They're trying to hit the ball hard running, catch Warren Central off guard. Now Warren Central starting to be the team that's looking lackadaisical.
Hurry up offense once again, 2nd and 1 from their own 43. Same formation from the pistol. This time they put Roberts in motion. That one, he's going to pitch that one. The ball's on the ground. Ball's still on the ground. Warren Central will come up with it after the turnover. And it looks like James is going to make the tackle there. The fumble recovery made by Cottrell Moss after he had an interception earlier, and another turnover in their own territory is going to put Warren Central at the 30-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds.
There's no words for mistakes like that. There's no words, because you see your team coming off, and how can you stay confident? How can you remain in the ball game when you start to roll and then something like that happens? And we talked about it with Jeff George, you know, facing those interceptions. Began to get something going, and then was just all that momentum's just taken out. It's tough to do, but Greyhounds are going to have to keep their head up. Now look for the defense here. They're playing from behind again, not the position you want to be in.
George back under center after that last play there. Flexbone offense coming up. They have one wide. They put Coe in motion. He receives the handoff, left tackle, has some room to run. He's finally going to be tripped up and brought down by Sean Stetson on the chase after the gain of 2. So Coe gets another carry. We've seen him go perimeter to perimeter, sideline to sideline a lot tonight, trying to get over towards that edge. And if he ever gets to that edge, he's going to be off to the races. Will be 2nd and 7. From the 27-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds, 4:14 remaining in the third quarter. Warren Central holds a 12-0 lead, and their offense is on the field. Same formation this time, lining up off that left hash. Getting closer to that left sideline, they put Lee in motion. Adrian Smith off the left tackle, receives the handoff. He's going to be brought down at about the 26, gain of 2 this time. Sets up about a 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6 will be the official spot at the 26-yard line of Carmel. Under 4 to go, 3:48 in the third quarter. 12-0 remains your score in favor of Warren Central. as they are in the huddle right now. Big third down coming up. Not quite in field goal range for the kicker, Hernandez, as they go three wide, two out to his right, split backs from the shotgun. George really running this clock down now to five, rolling out to his right, pressure coming, looks over, and that one's going to be dropped by the receiver again. That will be Gegner, who's had a couple very clutch receptions, but fourth and six, the defense holds again.
And I was watching film, and something that I noticed exactly, almost deja vu on this play, Jeff George is at the 30-yard line, almost like, literally exactly like we're at. There's a third down there. George takes the snap, rolls out to his right, tries to hit Gegner, and again, an incompletion there. But now they're going to come out in a field goal formation. Jesse, I just saw your eyes. They opened about 10 inches. And a look of surprise on all of our faces here. Big-time field goal.
43-yard attempt as they almost get their man to jump off sides, and they do. That will give them an extra 5 yards of cushion. And a mental mistake by the Cromwell Greyhounds are going to move them up 5 yards. It will be a fourth and one, so let's see if the offense will come back out onto the field now. But not much to lose, and the kicking team's going to run off the field.
Two keywords, mental mistakes. And that's what happens when you start turning the ball over, when you start to get in even a deeper hole than you're in, the mental mistakes become more prevalent. 12 to nothing. The score does not reflect the play of the Greyhounds. They should be down. We're talking four scores with the amount of turnovers that they have had thus far. But here's Jeff George now to convert.
X-wing formation. Trying to get him to jump off sides again. The handoff up the middle. He's going to be leveled at the 20-yard line. It's going to depend on the spot. But that is a big hit there, but from Riley Smith, Wade Murdoch, and company coming in. And it looks like that will not be enough for the first down. A turnover on downs, and the Carmel defense holds once again.
Stonewall, stonewall, stonewall. Credit that defensive line. Credit that linebacking core. Credit the defense bailing out the offensive just unproductivity this game. Good job, Carmel defense. They get my MVP on this game.
And if you saw them coming off the sidelines, just how energized and pumped up these guys are. Very excited. Now let's see if that momentum can shift back over towards the offensive side. And we'll see what quarterback comes out, James or Lampe at this point. Anybody's guess. 3:15 remaining into third as they are trailing 0-12 as Lampe trots out onto the field. Lampe will take over from his own 20-yard line off that right hash. They go true shotgun, four wide, three out to his left. Takes the snap, has some time to throw. Pressure coming now, rolls out to his right. Looking towards the sideline, fires over the middle, finds Perkins. Perkins with a juke move, and he gets to the 35-yard line. A little bit of improvising between Lampe and Perkins gets the first down.
Good throw there by Lampe, but he's got to hurry it up a little bit. He's holding the ball way too long. Those holes that those receivers have, the routes are going to end up closing. Those defensive backs are going to end up closing that ground between them and the receiver, and Lampy's going to find himself in interception land.
Same receiver set this time from the pistol, looks over screen, left side to Roberts at the 35-40. He heads towards the sideline, breaks tackle, 50-yard line. He's still on his feet, 40-yard line, 30, tries to stay in bounds. He does. Austin Roberts is up to the races, into the end zone for the Carmel Greyhounds, and that is 6-12.
Austin Roberts there, that's the guy you need to get the ball to. All you got to do is get it to Austin Roberts. He makes things happen. We saw him do that in the first half. John Lampe, a quick pass out to Roberts, cuts across the side of the field, keeps it running. Deja vu again, 2:52 here. In that third quarter, get the ball to Austin Roberts, make something happen, 7 points, and now the Greyhounds are back in this ball game.
The biggest games call for the biggest plays from the biggest players. We saw that against Lawrence Central, saw it against Trinity, and now we're seeing against Warren Central. Lampe to Roberts has been key late in the game all season.
And I think that's the key to victory, Jesse. They don't get the ball out to Roberts enough. Really, he is that guy. He's an all-around, all-dimensional athlete. He can do anything. Get him the ball, he'll make things happen.
A 66-yard touchdown pass from Lampe to Roberts off of a screen pass, mind you, as Kramer is able to put that one through 7-12. That is a crucial extra point.
Credit the play calling. You got to give credit to the play calling on that. A nice play, able to get Austin Roberts out in space. And again, the only way to describe what Austin Roberts is capable of doing, extraordinary. That's the only word I can think of. You get him the ball, he makes things happen. Breaks two or three tackles right there. Nice juke moves by Roberts, and you can't beat his speed. A kid like that, I know you've gotten to talk to him before, Jesse. His speed is deadly.
4.51 40-yard dash for a player at 6'2", 215. That is a lethal combination for any offense, a combination of size, speed, and you heard it in the player profile with that winning attitude. Brings the Carmel Greyhounds within five with 2:52 remaining here in the third quarter. 12-7 is your score as Adam Kramer will be kicking away, and he's been very reliable all year on the touchbacks. Crowd really starting to get into the game on both sides now. Warren Central bringing quite the group here. A lot of numbers on their side of the field as far as the fan base goes. But just like that, Carmel Greyhounds have 150 passing yards versus 33 rushing. Something interesting to note, doing most of their offensive production through the air tonight. Kramer's lined up to kick from his own 40. Kramer is off and away. This one bouncing at about the 10-yard line. That one bounces into the end zone for another touchback. We're used to seeing him hit those on the fly, but gets the same exact result. They will start at the 20-yard line. So after the touchback, they start from their own 20-yard line, and Jeffrey George will come back onto the field. What do you think is the key to this drive for the Warren Central Warrior offense?
Okay, I still stand by my point. I think Jeffrey George has got to air the ball out. I think he's got to hit those secondary where they're at. I think he's got to make guys like Zach Woods and Alex Akins work for it. Again, he's got size advantage. He's got to get his guy, Darius Lee, number 17. Okay, he comes in this game with, get this, folks, 497 yards. That's unheard of from a receiver. So you know that that pair is kind of like the Lampy-Roberts pair. We haven't seen that tonight. I think if George hits his guy, Darius Lee, we're going to see the same outcome as we just saw with Austin Roberts and Lampy.
George will take the snap, hands that one off. Penalty flags fly everywhere. The ball carrier will be brought down. That's Cliff Thomas on the carry, gaining about 2 yards. But going back to what you're saying about George there, considering 877 yards on the season coming into the game, 497 of them to one player. You can do the math there, folks. That is an incredible amount going to just one guy.
But I'll be honest with you, folks. You know, my tendency coming into this game, my whole, notes on the Warren Central offense was that they were pass heavy. You know, I thought that we were going to see Jeff George come in here. But obviously, we're not seeing that. If you look from the passing game for Warren, 57 yards in the air, 61 on the ground. They've only got 121 yards thus far, and yet they've still got the lead, and they're still moving the ball forward.
And the penalty will be against the Warren Central Warriors, thrown as soon as the ball was snapped there. Illegal formation appeared to be the penalty. That moves them back 5 yards on first down. So first and 15 now, pinned back deep in their own territory. George starts the drive now from his own 15-yard line. The officials are still discussing. Carmel defense getting ready, trying to get that Carmel crowd pumped up a little bit in that student section. Nonetheless, it will stay at a first and 15, it would appear, as George is going to be talking this one in this little break of action. He's going to talk this one over with his offense, making sure everybody's on the same page of what they need to be doing. Still first down here, first and 15. So they're going to go with the same formation. George under center, one wide out to his left. He loses the football, ball is on the ground. We'll see who comes up with the recovery. It looks like a center to quarterback miscue. George is able to dive on top of that. Just like that, second and 16.
And those miscues are so, so critical right there. You talk about that offensive line. We haven't mentioned it thus far this game. I got the opportunity to talk to Nate Thompson. He's the junior center for the Greyhounds thus far. In passing, was able to talk to him. And he was able to tell me that offensive line came together last game. I think that's the reason we saw the success that Carmel had on the ground, is because you've got the young guys and even the inexperienced guys like Jacob Victor stepping up, playing great ball. Jeff George has got to do that with his offensive line right now.
Single back formation, fakes the handoff, rolling out to his right, has time to throw. Now the pressure comes over towards the sideline, can't connect with Adrian Smith there. That one falls incomplete just like that. Third and 17 from their own 13-yard line. Minute 50 remaining in the third quarter. Warren Central still remains leading, but 12-7.
That pressure from that defensive line there. See, if you can get Jeff George to roll out and throw on the run, it's not very accurate. You're going to come up with incomplete passes, and that's also going to come up with big-time stops. A third and eternity here. Warren Central's backed up almost to their end zone. And again, 1:50 here in this third quarter. The crowd really starting to get into it, folks. 12-7 in favor of Warren. Big down here for Jeff George.
I'm keeping my eye on Gegner out to his right side. He's all alone with Zach Woods. He takes the snap, pressure coming, steps up in the pocket, looks over that left side, and Anthony Mazza will break up the pass there. Pass was intended, looks like, for Coe. What a great job there. That was Cliff Thomas. But 4th and 17, Greyhounds make the stop.
Yet another senior stepping up for that Greyhound defense. Anthony Mazza coming in from Brebeuf Jesuit. Switched here from his, sophomore year to his junior year. A good job by him to come up in that Rover position, making a big-time tackle.
Now standing in his own end zone, this punt is almost blocked there by Burks as Baldridge will call for the fair catch at the 49-yard line. So starting already in Warren Central territory, this offense has a lot of momentum on their side, trailing by five.
Yeah, Jesse, you know that you've done a good job defensively when your team is coming out in Warren Central territory on a punt. Good job there by that defense to step up yet again. They still have my MVP so far. They've come up big when it seemed like all odds were against them. When it seemed like that the offense was failing that defense, they were able to muster up just so much tenacity, so much courage and confidence together as a team and unify and make some big stops. They've really made this game a possibility for the Greyhounds.
And this is where you need your senior veteran leadership as Lampe from the flex bone under center takes the snap, pitches it out. Roberts heads towards the sideline at the 50-yard line, cuts back across the middle of the field. Penalty flags fly, and Roberts will be brought down at about the 43. So a solid run there, gain of six on first down by the receiver, Austin Roberts, and that one's going to be holding against the Karma Greyhounds. That'll back him up 10 yards to make it first and 20, potentially, from the spot of the foul.
That was my suspicion there. I saw Jason Baldridge keeping a great block there on that left side, really making the field position happen there for Roberts, but they're going to get someone on that offense for the hold here. Either way, the ball goes back now. John Lampe's going to have a first, and it looks like 17 yards. Minute 30 here in that third quarter.
First and 22 is the official spot now in their own territory from the 40. Lampe comes out in the pistol, four wide set, split the difference. Left hash looks to throw under pressure now, rolling out to his right. That one is overthrown. Dangerous area there for Roberts. That one will bring up the second and 22.
Had Baldridge wide open there on the left side. Lampe just missed that read. And that's something that we've talked about. Jeff George is especially guilty of this, only keeping his eye on his intended receiver, not looking at the field, not scanning to see the other options. But Baldridge is wide open on that left side. Missed opportunity for John Lampe with the pressure coming.
Chris Perkins comes in to replace Shakir Pascal as the tailback on this play. Minute 16 remaining in the third. A little slower play here in the last couple of minutes, but Warren still leads 12-7. Carmel, the second and 22, four wide set, three out to his right. Lampe takes a snap, looking deep down that side for Baldwin, and it's a completion. First down and more. 30-yard line, 25-yard line. He is pushed out of bounds, and a big play from another senior to another senior. This time, Lampe to Baldwin off that right side.
And so, again, like I said before, if you start airing out the ball, you're going to make things happen. You're going to catch that defense off guard. The defense is tired. They're not really expecting the pass, and you hit them where it counts. Nice reception there by Thomas Baldwin. Good hookup there from John Lampe.
35 yards on the reception out the 25-yard line of Warren Central. Same formation this time from the pistol. They put Roberts in motion. Hand off to Perkins up the middle. He has room. 15-yard line jukes across the left side of the field, and Chris Perkins is going to have himself a rushing touchdown. And just like that, the Carmel Greyhounds have the lead 13-12.
And it only takes two. Two scores there for the Greyhounds. A very fortunate team thus far. Really, really got lucky. Credit that defense. They were able to scrape the Greyhounds out of some serious holes. Jeff George could have made some things happen offensively. Defense steps up, forces two field goals instead of two scores. Now the Greyhounds have the lead with 13 points.
Trying to make that one more here. Let's see if that offense will stay out on the field for the two, and they will. John Lampe is going to be lining up to try to make this one a three-point game. 13-12 is your score once again. It looks like we have a timeout. That will be for the Carmel Greyhounds, and we've seen timeouts can be very valuable in the second half, but Carmel still has the advantage with two timeouts left compared to Warren's one timeout left. Carmel holding now in the driver's seat for the first time tonight, 13-12. And the last two offensive drives have really been dominated by the aerial attack.
Exactly, and I think now that's the name of the game for Jeff George. He's got to come out here. He's got to work that play action a little better. I think what was happening is he was running the ball on first and second down. And again, you know I'm a big fan of mixing things up. You know I'm a big fan of taking shots down the field early. But what I think that these guys have to do is they've got to mix it up. They've got to keep that Carmel Greyhound defense on their toes. I mean, you got to come out here and pass the ball. Maybe open some things up with some PA rollouts on first and second down. You got to be willing to take some shots downfield, and eventually it's going to pay off. Case in point, John Lampe on that last drive.
Able to go deep and short both on the last two touchdowns. First one, a screen pass, 60 yards. It was to Austin Roberts, and then the 35-yarder to Thomas Baldwin on this drive was a deep pass downfield. Two-point conversion coming up. They put Roberts in motion. Four wide set for the Greyhounds. Empty backfield. Looking to that left side. Colin Pearson comes up with an excellent catch, and that one's actually going to be knocked out right at the end. Incomplete pass, but nonetheless, the Carmel Greyhounds will hold a 13-12 lead. Looks like he had that one there, but just not able to control it all the way through. Good defensive stop there by Warren Central to keep this for a one-point game.
Well, and I'm not going to give Warren credit they're not due there. You're going to have to put the responsibility on Colin Pearson now. He's dropped three balls so far this game. Not the kind of start. He hasn't really had the opportunities to shine. In the words of Bob Lamy, one of my dear friends, you got to take every opportunity you get. And that was the one thing that I really think you can apply in every area of life. But again, especially if you're a player who doesn't seem a lot of playing time, and you don't necessarily get the opportunities that a guy like Austin Roberts does, you got to convert when the ball is thrown to you.
Those opportunities will lead to more opportunities down the road. But Adam Kramer will be kicking this one away. And a big shift in events here as the power goes off on the scoreboard and the music cuts off a little bit too. Having some electrical issues here at Carmel Stadium, but we're still here as Adam Kramer looks to be kicking this one away, but we have an official's timeout. In the meantime, until we get this figured out, working frantically over there in the scoreboard booth.
So far now, we got one of these technical difficulties. Good thing we're still on the airways bringing you the game. We might not have the time for you necessarily, but we're going to do everything we can to relay the action. We do have the secondary scoreboard here, so Jesse's still got his job. Again, his play is pretty dead out there, and so is the crowd life now. Hey, but you know, you can never do anything well without having a technical difficulty once in your life.
Absolutely not, but so we have a minute left here in this game. The score still remains 13-12. Carmel's Adam Kramer really wants to get this one kicked away. He's just about ready to kick it off when everything was cut. It looks like both teams are going to head towards the sidelines.
50 years, WHJE Radio has been your local source for Greyhound football. Join John Perkins and Jesse Smith for the 2013 football season as they bring expert analysis straight to your dial. 91.3 WHJE Carmel.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this WHJE broadcast. We are having some technical difficulties with the main scoreboard. Secondary scoreboard still intact. We are in the third quarter with a minute left in this quarter. 13-12 is your score. Carmel just regaining the lead. And it looks like we do have power restored here as the crowd will start to clap. We also get the yardage totals back. 243-119. Carmel has the advantage there after that was really kind of split even down the middle throughout this game. As we return to play, Adam Kramer is going to get his kickoff underway. We really haven't seen too much from either side of the return team because both kickers have done a great job each time kicking it into the end zone for the automatic touchback rule in high school. So Kramer set to kick this one away. Carmel faithful getting ready. Their team has stormed back down 12 points, 13 unanswered. And they have the one-point lead. Kramer lining this one up. It's up and away. This one a booming kick back towards the end zone. not even going to try for that one out of the back of the end zone, and that will be another automatic touchback for Adam Kramer, and Warren Central will start at their own 20.
Another score update from Ben Davis. The Giants now have 22 points to Center Grove's 13. Again, 7 minutes there in that third quarter. Folks, we're keeping an eye on that game. It's a very, very important game. Center Grove, again, 6-0 thus far. They're first in the standings. Ben Davis is third. So a big game there. Carmel not too far down in the standings as well, looking to maybe inch their way up a little more. Again, folks, we do have one more game for the Greyhounds. Next week, Pike, and then we're looking at sectionals. Two games so far.
They also have to go on the road to Ben Davis the week after Pike next week, as Jeff George is going to hand that one off to the tailback. That left tackle, Wade Murdoch, is going to stop him behind the line of scrimmage, second and 11. We are under a minute to play in the third quarter.
Can't forget about a team like Ben Davis. Obviously, putting on a show, 22-13 Center Grove. And they'll be a tough opponent as well. But I'll tell you, this MIC conference, it's been special to be able to watch the Greyhounds play and compete in a very talented conference with a lot of talented teams and a lot of complex teams who, in my opinion, have pushed the Greyhounds to be a better team this year.
Center Grove playing Ben Davis 1-3. This game, Carmel versus Warren Central, the 4-7, both in the media polls, as Jeffrey George is taking this one down to the last second on the play clock, and he's going to take a big shot tailback off that right tackle. It looks that was Murdoch, Sondels, and Conway getting that one, and Vic Rowe also getting in on the tackle, and it looks like Warren Central's content with that being the end of the third quarter as the time starts to tick away. But a very productive third quarter for the Carmel Greyhounds as they lead 13-12. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE, the voice of the Carmel Greyhounds.